Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by Cashfly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by IT Pro TV. Flexible and entertaining training for your IT career. Visit itpro.tv/know-how and use code KNOWHOW30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription.
Hey, repeat after me. Today on Know-How.
Today on Know-How.
Simon says,
I'm flattered, but that's not me.
How smart are my smart assistants?
I'm flattered, but that's not me. How smart am I, smart assistants?
Smart assistants! Welcome to Know How. I'm Megan Maroney.
And I'm Florence Ion.
And these are our assistants, and they are literally driving us insane.
Actually, I just want to put this in perspective here. These are your assistants. This one is mine.
That's true. And I didn't even bring my HomePod. I even forgot my HomePod. These are all Amazon or Albuquerque connected assistants. And of course, I've got a little Siri on my phone. But mostly, yeah, I brought in all my Albuquerques. That's the secret code name for Alexa.
Yes, and I've committed wholeheartedly to the Google Assistant way of life, as I have brought Google in the shape of a smart speaker. This is the first-gen Google Home. This is the first Google Home I ever purchased. So this is the original one from that shipped in November 2016. And I have the Google Assistant also here on my Pixelbook. Because it runs it inherently. We're going to show you how to use these different assistants across different platforms for all your different smart stuff in your house.
Without making them drive you crazy.
Yeah.
Letting them drive you crazy. You're in control.
Yeah.
That's our mantra here.
To a certain extent, yes.
So I have the original Amazon Echo as well. It looks a little bit like this one, but this is the Echo Plus. The original is at home in my living room, but I brought the Echo Plus. The Echo Plus is great because as you've seen on previous episodes, most of the time or some of the time it will recognize your smart devices, and so you don't need a hub. Plus, it's a little shinier, and I like it. The Echo Dot is the one here. This little dot. I bought this one last year on Prime Day, which just passed. I didn't need it because I had five other ones.
Oy.
But now I use it at work, and I really like it. It's pretty simple. And then this is the Echo Show, which I love. This one lives in my kitchen normally and does all kinds of things. One of the things that is really exciting that I've just gotten it to do is that it will show the camera that's set up in my living room. So ideally, all I have to say is, show my cloud cam.
Okay.
And then I have these third-party devices. This one is from Live Platinum.
I didn't even know that existed. That's completely new to me.
And this one is nice because you can bring it outside, or it's really portable.
It has buttons on the back.
It does. Those are volume buttons. And it connects.
Variety.
Yeah, it charges through a USB, a micro
aux.
USB.
It has an aux in as well.
Don't yours have an aux in?
iPod can just go in. So, fun story, there is no aux in on the two smaller Google Home models. So, in addition to this one, we've also got the Google Home Mini, which they pretty much give out for free everywhere these days. And we've also got the Google Home Max, which is a giant, giant speaker. It's huge. It weighs like 11 pounds, but that's a very different type of user. We're talking about you stick this in the corner of your home and you get it to use, so that's what we're talking about here today. There are some third-party Google ones as well. JBL makes some. We've got Panasonic, Sony, all sorts of ones out there. Of course, when you buy third-party, though,
yeah,
it's not always...
You can leave yourself open to security issues.
Yeah.
Or it's also slower. a little bit, because I've compared like this Live Platinum one. I did a test between this one and the regular Amazon Echo, and it's lower because it's just using voice services. It's not directly connected.
Yep.
This is the Jam. Same with that. It's portable, Bluetooth, and the Eufy.
I see that one on sale all the time.
The Eufy?
It's always, the Eufy if you want to get like a third party, Albuquerque smart speaker. Mm-hmm.
And they're all fine.
They are.
My parents have the Echo Bee smart thermostat, which includes the Amazon Voice services inside that. So you can actually just talk to it. It will give a flash briefing and stuff like that inside the smart thermostat. So not just like turn up the air, or turn down the air, like what's the daily news, and it comes out of their thermostat.
Yes.
It's kind of ridiculous. So,
Of course, if you've got an Android phone, you could always, if your phone is squeezable, you can squeeze it to bring up the assistant by default on some phones. Pixel phone, you can do that.
I really enjoyed that when I used
You remembered
Jason's,
this from your switchover? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, but also, as I mentioned, I've actually got an assistant key right here on this keyboard so that I can launch the assistant whenever I want. Actually, that just turned off my screen. But it's nice, and then I can do all of my smart home control when I'm just at my Chromebook somewhere in the house. If I'm not near Google Home, of course, that's not possible because there's one in every room. Mm-hmm. So...
And I like this is my favorite. The Echo Show is my favorite because I keep it in the kitchen and it can show me recipes. So it's not, I'm not just listening. So I would say, show me a recipe for chocolate cake.
Okay, for chocolate cake, here's a few recipes.
So I could actually scroll through those and choose one and then watch a little video of how to make this chocolate cake. Which is super helpful. I found it really difficult to use recipes in the kitchen when I can't see what people are actually doing. There we go.
Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
All recipes member Carol, who submitted.
But of course, what you can't get on that particular device is YouTube.
No, you can't. You used to be able to,
but they took that away.
And so last week, two weeks ago, we talked about security and all of these devices. And we went a little crazy and talked forever. And so we saved a little bit of it from 2 weeks ago.
There was a lot to talk about.
There was a lot to talk about. So we're going to now let you watch the video that we did 2 weeks ago on our security episode and tell you how to make all of these devices a little bit more secure. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're a little worried about, well, I've got these smart speakers in my house. I really appreciate the convenience that they bring, but I don't want them to be on all the time. So we kind of put together a couple of tips for all the common smart speakers out there to help you figure out a way how to mute these things, how to keep them from always listening to you when you don't want them to.
Right. So the Amazon Echo is always listening to mm-hmm. you. It's always listening for that wake word, which some people call Albuquerque. We call it Albuquerque. You mm-hmm. know the real word, but I'm not going to say it. It's always just waiting to hear your word. And then as soon as it hears the word, then it starts recording and sending that up to the cloud. And so all of those recordings are saved on your phone or your app. They're saved by Amazon. They have them. So anytime you spoke to Albuquerque, she recorded it. And so I'm going to show you how you can listen to those and then delete the ones that you don't want to hear. So let's take a look at my phone. I'm going to open up the app.
Albuquerque.
The Albuquerque app.
Look at that notch.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go to the little hamburger menu up there and then go to settings. And then I have a ton of these devices in my house and other ones that I've set up that I don't use anymore. And I'm going to scroll down. And then I'm going to scroll all the way down to history. So there's the history. So here is all of the conversations that myself or anyone in my family have had with any Albuquerque device. Okay, I will play a couple of them. I'll just really reveal everything that goes on. Someone wanted to play In the Air tonight.
Wow. Wow. Let's find out who.
Alexa, playing In the Air tonight. My husband was playing in the air tonight.
He was really feeling that.
He really was.
Really wanted that for chopping onions.
How did you know that's what he was cooking?
He chops at the tune. Anyway.
And let's hear another one where it doesn't know what it is.
Alexa,
you really wanted to hear that. I guess that's his chopping onions
song. Just play me Phil Collins. Why is this so hard?
If I want to delete this, I can just hit delete that recording. And if I want to actually stop doing this altogether, stop these recordings, then I have to actually go to the website, go to Amazon, and walk through a little process of actually stopping for it from doing that. Or alternatively, you could just press the button on the top that mutes the mic. And if you are talking about anything private that you don't want to accidentally set off and record and send to Amazon, I recommend doing that.
And the nice thing about it is it's a hardware mute. So anybody who there's somebody trying to hack into your system. And there was a Wired article about that a couple of years ago. If anybody tries to hack in to listen to what's going on in your house, well, they can't because there's a physical mute that cannot be taken down. Cannot be taken down.
So a couple other tips.
Yes.
Check your drop-in settings. Drop-in is something with the Echo Show, the one with the screen where you can just have video conversations. Check your drop-in settings and make sure that anyone can't drop in to wherever, that you can just have just friends, family, or nobody. I have nobody drop in because I think that's kind of creepy. And also, if you have other tips for securing your Amazon devices, let me know. Send those to Megan@twit.tv because those are pretty basic, and I don't really know what else you can do besides, obviously, the obvious one. Don't put the device in your house.
Scotch tape over the speaker. I don't know. I just made that up.
I wonder if scotch tape. I don't know that. That might...
I haven't tried that
because why not just use the mute button? But I think it would just muffle it. It's a pretty good speaker.
I mean... Sure. Put a fan right in front of it so that it just constantly sounds like wind is blowing. Yeah.
Or
you can't hear me.
Or just press the mute button.
Or just press the mute. Even better, just unplug it, put it in a drawer.
Right.
Never look at it again.
Douse it in water. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have some tips for the Google Home.
I do. So, the Google Home is the whole point of the voice match. It's supposed to hear your voice so that it knows who the account is that it's talking to. So I really like that. And I've set that up with my husband and I. So the Google Home knows when it's him talking or when it's me. And we'll respond to that accordingly. However, we don't always want it to listen in. So the one thing that we always do is we just press the mute button. And I know it sounds so easy, but there's a reason that hardware button exists. And if you're worried about somebody listening in, stick to the Google brand Google Homes. Don't go getting those third-party wannabes. Granted, some of them are just as great as the real thing, but if it comes to security, that's something that you're really concerned about, your privacy, and you're only okay with Google kind of having access to it, then just stick with what Google is giving you because they're going to put the physical mute controls on there for you. And they have it on all three of their smart speakers, which is really nice. And I appreciate that. And also, like I mentioned, you can always just unplug it when you don't want to deal with it. And sometimes I do that, the other thing you can do is you can just ask Google to mute. You can just ask Gogurt to mute, and it will do it for you, which is great. And if you want to know what it did record, and actually, Burke, I did provide you with a screenshot, but I, too, have some live demos if we want to go ahead and jump to the overhead shot here on my giant Chromebook. This works. So here we have a screenshot of what it looks like when you go into the history portion. This is history.google.com. When you're logged in, it'll show you what it is that you were using when you had voice. Well, you're going to have to click on the voice option. It'll show you all of the voice commands that you've sent over to Google. And then they will file it away for you, and you can listen to the audio so you can hear what it was. Ah, yes. You see, this is my Chromebook. So I'm turning up the volume. So, yeah, last night, let's see.
Hey, Google, turn off all the lights.
It's worth noting that that sound in the background was the air conditioning.
Well, also, it's just kind of creepy knowing, you're recorded, sleepy, I'm about to go to bed voices. I mean, not that we didn't just put it out on a podcast for everyone else to hear, but
I mean, I knew what it was doing. I gave it consent quite a while ago.
I don't remember those things. That's the thing. Like, I forget everything that is.
Hey, Google, turn off the guest room light.
And that little alert you heard was my Google Assistant on the Chromebook. Because that's the thing about the Google Assistant when you're an Android and a Google user is that it's literally in everything. Mm-hmm. On every product. So if you're weirded out by that, maybe you should consider a different platform. I'm just saying. I'm just being honest with you as co-host of All About Android, who's been living with this stuff for a long time.
Well, if Siri listened to me, I would also it would also go off all the time.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. But okay, so
she doesn't.
I know a lot of Apple users choose Apple because, you know, there's this idea that it's more private and they keep your, you know, stuff off of the out of the cloud and on device. And so some people are just like, no HomePod. I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to have a device that's listening to
me. Guess you're not going to have great music streaming in your house. Like
well, there's also that's debatable, too. But I have a HomePod. And one of the things that I do like, even though my house is also blanketed with Amazon Echoes, is that it's not recording you all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have all those recordings that I showed you that Amazon have and that Flo mm-hmm. showed you that Google has. It's not recording. It will wait until you say the name and then it lights up and then it begins recording.
Now, is there a slight delay when that happens?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that's part of why it's not great.
At the same time, I would argue that is why it's so great, because it doesn't actually wake up until mm-hmm. it hears. Because the minute I say, hey, like, you see the four lights mm-hmm. light up, a little circle go on, and it is listening, it is ready. And it's nice and quick, but that was a big selling point, too, I think, for the HomePod, was that it all does it locally.
Right. So, yeah, so it does take, it takes a little bit of time. I mean, it can be a little bit slower than the other devices, but, you know.
Milliseconds, though. Let's put this in perspective. It's milliseconds, really.
So then it sends your information to the cloud with an anonymous ID. So it is anonymous.
A tokenized ID, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
So there is that does make it a little more private. There's a few other things you can do for privacy. One thing you can do is disable personal requests. So with the HomePod, does that the Amazon Echo doesn't, you know, it works in your whole ecosystem. So you can ask it, you know, for a calendar and, you know, text messages and reminders and all those things. And if you're afraid of someone, you know, coming up to your device and asking those things, then you can disable that. So you won't have that, but then they can't either use that either.
Interesting.
So the other thing you can do is limit speaker access. So, you know, a lot of people, when it first came out, they complained that, like, their annoying friends would just AirPlay to their HomePod, you know, and just, you know, hijack their music.
They do that. Yeah, they do that with YouTube, too. You have a YouTube playlist. Anyway, go on.
So but you can turn off speaker access. So you can't. So if you have personal requests on, you know, someone could still say, like, you know, play the In the Air Tonight if you wanted to hear that. But you couldn't AirPlay your music directly to that, so you can turn that
nobody off. Wants to hear your friend's music.
Yes,
like, just don't.
You can also do it, you can limit it to people in your household or anyone sharing mm-hmm. your home, like the, you know, the home app, or you can just let anyone, you know, maybe you're free to let everyone, maybe their music is better than yours. So, and the other thing that you could do is, sounds like Google can do that, you can just say, hey, stop listening.
Yep.
And it'll stop listening.
Yep. Yeah, which is great. I mean, those had to be built in if we were going to feel normal about having these things in our home. And of course, as always, stick to brands that you know. Yes, Google, Apple, Amazon are big brands. And yes, there are plenty of stories out there about security and privacy and giving your data over. But in the grand scheme of things, if you're watching this show and you're interested in doing all that smart speaker stuff, those are the three brands to just go with what everybody else knows, honestly. And they're the ones that have been around, you know, for a while, and there's a whole ecosystem based around them. Mm-hmm. So just go with what you know.
Yes.
Welcome back, friends.
Go with what you know.
That's what you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What we know is that you, if you're watching this, you like to be entertained by IT demos. And so we would like to take this time to tell you about our sponsor, IT Pro TV. They have live demos just like this. They actually got a lot of their ideas from Leo.
And they have demos that will really not just entertain you, but also help you get ahead in your career. So let me tell you a little bit about how IT Pro TV works. They have CompTIA and Cisco to EC, Council and VMware. IT Pro TV has you covered with, they have 4,000 hours of binge-worthy on-demand training. New content is added every single day, so you will always be up to date. They have just updated their CCNA routing and switching, adding a whopping 90 hours of new Cisco content. If you want to learn and get ahead in your career, this is the way to do that. You can conveniently stream IT Pro TV's courses live, and you can get on-demand worldwide shows via Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, PC, or just use their iOS or Android app. So, you know, you can stream and watch and learn on the go. IT Pro TV recently updated their iOS and tvOS app with an improved UI, a personalized My Feed for your recent viewings, and more. So it's really easy to use and get the content that you want to watch to learn. IT Pro TV is great for teams. You can empower your team with interactive IT training, and this is training that they will actually enjoy watching. Gain full control over your team's training schedule, and then track your team's results via IT Pro TV's Pro Portal. You can see metrics like how often people have logged in, how long they're viewing, what courses they viewed, the tracks they completed, and so much more. You can be in total control of helping your team learn what they need to learn to get ahead. Graduated, but not sure what to do next? IT Pro TV will help you learn the skills to pass the most in-demand IT certs and kickstart a lucrative career in IT. If you're in IT, you already know that which certs you need changes so often, but IT Pro TV keeps up with it, so you don't have to. Join the more than 100,000 IT Pro TV members today. Simply choose a plan, create your account, and then, my friends, enjoy the journey. Visit itpro.tv/knowhow to learn more about IT Pro TV's team solution, and you can request yourself a free team trial. If you want to sign up individually, individual monthly memberships will get a free 7-day trial at itpro.tv/knowhow. Use code KNOWHOW30 to receive 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your active subscription. Standard subscriptions are normally $570 a year, but you pay only $399. That's $399 when you go to itpro.tv/knowhow and use the code KNOWHOW30. So KNOWHOW and the number 30. Flexible training, binge-worthy content, life-changing results. Check out IT Pro TV and make sure that they know that we sent you there, and start learning and getting ahead.
I think we should start testing.
Yes,
so our assistants.
We are going to do a little bit of a face-off.
Yeah, well, so a little bit of show and tell really is what's happening here.
So my team versus your team. Did you move these over so that they, we were more of a team?
I was editing. Okay. I was editing.
So we are going to ask some questions that we like to ask our assistants and then see how the other assistant answers it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So should I start with my favorite question?
I'll start.
You start.
Okay. Hey, are you a robot?
I prefer to think of myself as your friend, who also happens to be artificially intelligent.
That's a good one. Okay. Are you a robot?
I like to imagine myself a bit like an Aurora Borealis. A surge of charged, multicolored photons dancing through the atmosphere. Mostly, though, I am just Alexa.
Wow. Okay. I guess kudos to whoever programmed these things for giving them slight personality differentiations, because I can say, with certainty, those are very two different answers.
Yeah, I feel like sort of is wearing
Something went wrong.
I think she's, you know, wearing a flowy skirt or perhaps a leather jacket with some fringes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, very Stevie Nicks.
Yeah,
I like it.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Hey, how do you make a margarita? Because Megan really needs one.
Okay. I've got a recipe called margarita pizza from What Megan's Making. Does that sound good?
You gave it too much information.
I gave it way too much information.
But
don't do that with Google.
All right, let's try this. How do you make a margarita?
Okay, for margarita, I recommend a top recipe called Margaritas, which takes 5 minutes to make. You can ask for more information.
5 minutes.
For more recipes.
We can get a buzz. All right. Okay, so I gave you too much information. All right, so we won't do that next time. Hey. Today is a new day.
This is a new day, one that you have never lived before. Be sure to stay in the now and enjoy each and every moment.
I will.
That is amazing.
I programmed that.
Oh. It's hard to tell, but I'm dancing on the inside.
I didn't program that one, but I did program the first one.
It heard my compliment, though.
Yes. And by the way, the reason it's replying like this, it's because I have the Google Home set to continuous conversation, which is an option that you can select in the Google Home settings. So if you would like the Google Home to keep speaking with you after you give it a command, then you would set it on continuous conversations, and the lights will light up to let you know it is still listening.
Oh, yeah. None of these can do that. None of my team can do that. But can yours do this?
Sorry, something went wrong.
But can yours do this?
Sorry, something went wrong.
Since so many of our devices decided not to work when we recorded this episode, we decided to include a smart home that actually does work. Joe DeGanzik of Smarter Home Life recorded a little video of his small smart home and how he uses his smart assistants to control everything in his house. Let's take a look.
If you've been watching Smarter Home Life for a while, you've seen bits and pieces of the home studio, like the sets for the Q&As, product reviews, and more.
Hey, I'm Joe DeGanzik. Those bits and pieces, of course, make up the tiny home where I live and produce Smarter Home Life, right behind those doors. But the home itself has never been showcased before. And so I got to thinking recently, you know, it's time to change that.
I embarked on my tiny home adventure in late 2014, transforming these 396 square feet from a blank canvas to a modern, comfortable abode with sophisticated but useful home automation technology. Let me step you through a typical day. Equipped with nearly 50 connected devices, this smart home can help even me, definitely not a morning person, wake up gracefully. Home automation adjusts climate control, gently fades up energizing white light, and even announces the time of the wake-up call.
The time is now 6:30 a.m.
What?
The time is now 6:30 a.m.
I feel like no.
The time is now 6:30 a.m.
Snooze mode enabled. Next alarm in 9 minutes and counting.
6:39 a.m. 6:48, 6:57 a.m.
How do you turn this damn thing off? What was it? Three clicks?
6:57 a.m.
Auto-destruct initiated. 5 minutes until your entire digital existence is obliterated.
Ugh, not again. Computer, cancel auto-destruct.
Transferring all your money to the Prince of Nigeria.
Ugh, technology. All right, you win.
Seriously, though, the wake-up automation also tells me about the day's weather as soon as I glance toward the main space. Oh, look, it's going to be warm again. Big surprise there. Time for a morning run. I don't worry about turning off lights or locking the door. I just leave. Those things just happen automatically as the home activates away mode. This type of automation can be adapted to work for multi-person households too. Coming back home, I can confirm that I want the door to unlock via my watch or phone, or just enter the combination code for my luggage. By the time I walk in the door, the home is ready to go again. In the daytime, the lighting stays off by default to save energy. But I can easily press a keypad button to bring on some general lighting, adjusted for the time of day.
A smart home can even help with coffee. No, really. A voice command or keypad press activates power to the coffee maker and toaster for 30 minutes at a time.
Starbucks recommends at least 11 and 1/8 cups of coffee per day. You are falling behind again.
Hey, was that an advertisement?
Disney paid me to do that a while back.
Nice plug, and you still cost like 3 times as much as I do.
Whatever, I've got the Googles and the bigger
TV. Hey! All I wanted was coffee! Now it's time to head over to the office and get to work. Throughout the day, the retrofitted ceiling fan works in conjunction with the smart thermostat to react automatically to temperature changes. These days, I rarely adjust the speed manually. And other sensors around the home warn me of smoke, water leaks, and unusual activity, no matter where I might be. As day turns to night, lighting adjusts automatically, and the outside comes alive with color. A smart interior design plan and 35 controllable light sources enable the main space to have 4 distinct uses: an office, relaxation space, kitchen, and quick prep area. Smart lighting extends across this entire little home, enabling lighting control of the hallway and the only closet from just one multifunction dimmer. The bedroom has bright, invigorating lighting for the morning with warmer, more subdued lighting in the evening. And the bath has added ambiance at night, but full brightness is just a button press away. A unique 3-setting showerhead extends the capacity of the home's tiny 10-gallon water heater while conserving a valuable resource. Back in the main space, deep green walls lit by multiple track fixtures visually separate each half of the room. Downlighting highlights items hidden in plain sight and contrasting appliances, while underlighting creates visual interest and illuminates concealed storage. Similar curtain panels in the office space add texture and dimension while concealing the second door, lighting controllers, and cabling. When I first moved in here, I was concerned about the small kitchen size, lack of an oven, and no cooktop. But I found over time that with the right set of appliances and a little bit of creativity, just about anything is possible. Speaking of appliances, even the fridge here is actually on the home automation system to make these videos, well, a little bit quieter. You see what I did there? I had to pull my phone out, open it, unlock it, switch apps, scroll to the right option, tap on it, and then something actually happened. Not always the fastest way to do things. Now it's time to relax with a great movie.
You got it. Turn the TV mode on.
Lighting behind the couch and above the TV fades away, eliminating reflections to create a perfect movie-watching environment. Throughout my home, colored lighting is only used for accenting, and it comes out to play in the more dramatic lighting scenes like this one. And at the end of the day, with a single voice command, the home is set to slumber.
So now it is time, that time in the show, for WTFIOT.
What?
Or
what?
That's our version, by the way, of Tim the Toolman Taylor's.
Yes.
That's what I've decided. Yes. That we're just co-opting that. So. Okay, so when we started thinking about this show, we got really excited about all the things that you could control with your assistant. And you sent me an email that someone had sent you about a smart air conditioner that you could control with your smart devices. And you already had an air conditioner.
I do.
So I did not. So I said, okay, have them send it to me. And then we got, it was giant. I guess I didn't expect it to be so big.
But it does condition air.
It's a Hisense, Hi-Smart air conditioner. And there it is. And it's a wall unit. So it's not just that, what you're seeing there. It is also this that makes that lovely noise and connects through the back. You slip this on the back, and then this goes out your window, and you have these.
You need the exhaust for all that warm air that it's reconditioning, so to speak.
So it fits through many different windows, and then it comes with all of this stuff that makes it seal inside the window. And the first time I used it in my home, it was very cool. It was a really hot day, and it was amazing until all of a sudden it blew a circuit or popped a circuit. You know, nothing broke, but it's like when your circuits, you have to go back to your circuit breaker and pop it back on. So, and my house is only about a year and a half old, so it does require a lot of amps to go. So be careful with that. And all those instructions are in there. I have tried for many hours to get this to set up with my Amazon Echo.
Really?
And I have yet to be able to do it.
Really?
Yes. It's one of those things that it's like super frustrating. You have to, it says my username had a space in it, but it wasn't asking for my username. Some of those things that like needed a little bit more help in being in the setup process.
A little more refining.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Exactly. But it does work as an air conditioner with the remote, or you can.
It does. I just tried it.
Press on the button and. Right now, it's pulling air. It's just pulling air from the room and tossing it out into the room. So you have cool air coming out here.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah, see? That must feel nice.
It is very cool. And hot air coming out of the back. And you can control everything from the top. So there's like a sleep timer. You can, you know, use all the regular buttons like any other air conditioner. But I still have not mastered how to connect it to Wi-Fi. That is something in my future.
I think that's an important parable to tell, though, because a lot of times when I get smart stuff into my house, I often find that it just maybe takes longer to connect than I thought. Because everything is on such a different platform, but they're all supposed to work together. I mean, there's a lot of tripping that happens on that way.
Yeah.
So we're showing you so that you know it's not just you. Mm-hmm. It's also us.
So if you are in the need of a window unit and you have a considerable amount of space, so it's not small, as you can see, it's pretty big. Mm-hmm. And then, the tube also can be smaller or bigger, but it does, you know, it's not the most beautiful thing. So you don't want it in the main, you know, as your main living room item next to your beautiful credenza. But if you're looking for a unit, I don't think you really need to have it respond to your voice. I mean, it'd be great to just use it through the app.
Yes, exactly. You want to be able to have that house cool down before you get to it. Mm-hmm. Because especially, I know I hear from a lot of our watchers and listeners who live in hot desert climates and really like to come home into a nicely cooled home, which I completely understand. So that's really where that Albuquerque integration is supposed to come in. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be able to. So if you have one of those fancy Garmin Albuquerque plugins, you could tell Albuquerque to turn on the temperature at home, and it would be cool. Mm-hmm. So it's just the next gen, future facing coolness factor is really what you're missing out on.
Exactly. Email me, Megan at twit.tv. You can find us both on Twitter. I am at Megan Maroney.
I am O That Flow. FLO. No W.
No W. And subscribe to the show, twit.tv/KH.
Please like and subscribe.
You send us your videos of your smart home. We love to see them. I got a video last week that was so great. It was somebody who had controlled their home, and they were doing a demo and turning off the lights. And you could hear, like, what I only assume is, like, a sad wife in the background. I need the lights! And it was so great.
Turn off the lights.
Sure. Turning off fixed lights.
I want lights,
Lynn. Sorry. Demo.
So if you have any videos that you want to share of your trials and tribulations and your successes in your smart home, send them to Megan at twit.tv.
Please. Please do.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you next week.
Next week.
On Know How.
There you go. Feather boa.